Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, we're in Dipper number one. I've been calling it Lawfare Nowhere because, you know, as Jonathan Turley said, it appears that most of the cases against Trump have become the legal versions of the Flying Dutchman, sailing forever, never getting to port. But is that true in every case? And I thought, you know, we can read other people's opinions. I can tell you what I think as a civil litigator at my level, but I thought I'd bring somebody in who has been on the show many times and tends to know what he's talking about, especially when it comes to federal prosecution. Jay Towne is a former U.S. attorney who was appointed during the last Trump administration. He's got his degree from Notre Dame, his law degree from Seton Hall. He served for a number of years as a Marine Corps officer, and he is now in private practice, and he's on the line as we speak. Jay Towne, how you doing?
I am wonderful. Semper Fidelis on this November 7th, Thursday. I'm 2 days into a holiday, Phil. It's all going to work out.
Semper Fi to you. Hey, by the way, you've got a Marine going into the vice presidency. How you feel about that?
You know, I'll tell you this, I've talked to lots of folks that know Senator Vance. Vice President-elect Vance, and they all spoke very highly of him. But you know, I've never had a chance to sit and have any meaningful time with the guy. And there's very few people that are impressive so quickly, at least at my age. And it's not because I've met so many impressive people. It just might be that I'm not impressed by much. But he was impressive. From the moment he stepped on stage at the RNC till 2 seconds ago, and now again, just now. I mean, the guy's impressive, and the country's lucky to have him at the right hand of President Trump.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a great team. I look forward to the cabinet and see where we go from there. Hey, let me ask you something else that was impressive, but for all the wrong reasons, was the level of lawfare against Donald Trump and anybody who surrounded him. And you and I have talked about that in the past, but now the big questions are, where do they all go from here? You got state law cases in Georgia and in New York. You've got the New York Attorney General who says she's still going to continue to fight. You got federal cases. It's amazing to me. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, just to set up the sort of the four prosecutions of Trump, there's sentencing scheduled currently for the week after next, I believe. For President Trump in New York. It looks like that might not happen. At least we're hearing through reporting anyway that Judge Mershon is considering just dropping the case before sentencing. It's what he should do anyway because it was a garbage prosecution with garbage evidence, and it's going to get overturned if he does sentence Trump on appeal, and then Trump won't go to jail if he is sentenced to jail. Because he can immediately post an appellate bond and let that play out as it will. The case in Atlanta and Fulton County is a mess. Fannie Willis is going to be kicked off of that. It's going to go to another DA inside of Georgia. That DA is going to rightfully look at the case and say, all right, that's dismissed. Mar-a-Lago was dismissed by Judge Cannon. There's no time for Jack Smith to revitalize that case in time by January 20th. That appeal will be withdrawn by the next DOJ, so that case is dead. So the only case that's really going on right now is the January 6th case in D.C. Looks like they are going to be shuttering that case here very shortly. So you talk about just putting up a great legal strategy. And being just a man about it all with alligator blood in your veins, that's Donald Trump. And if Tish James wants to threaten the new federal government, the new administration with, don't take our money away or I'll sue you, have at it. You know, like you're gonna threaten this guy with, you know, a lawsuit? That's all these people have done to him, you know? So, okay, Tish, stand by though. you know?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it and think that's called not reading the room. You know what I'm saying? You misread the jury there, lady.
You're threatening Mike Tyson with a fist fight. You know, it's like, okay, yeah. Well, where do you want it? You want to do it now? You want to go outside? Like, where are we going to break less stuff? You know, I mean, come on.
Well, so, I look at it, and there's a huge question right now, brother. What do you think? I mean, because Jonathan Turley called this election the greatest jury verdict that could have ever been written, and I look at it and wonder, is it possible? Is it conceivable that the left has decided that lawfare is really not the way to go? And do you think they'll learn their lesson from this and recognize that lawfare is not American?
You know, I don't know. That's a really good question, because Democrats are still, I mean, do they learn their lesson? I don't know. I mean, they're still talking about misogyny and racism being the reason why Trump was elected the second time, even though he made gains with women and people of color, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it must be that a person of color voted for Trump because they're racist, right? What's the other explanation, right? That, I mean, Kamala Harris should write a book, How to Spend $1 billion in 90 Days and Still Have People Think I'm Awful. Right. So, I mean, it's just it is. I don't know if they can learn this lesson. And so I will say this, and that's because I've done it my entire adult life. It's all I've ever been good at, which is putting bad guys away and making sure that we follow the law. Law was always sort of math to me. Guy did A, meant to do B, equals guilty. And so that's how I approached it. It had nothing to do with his background or financial situation or connections or whatever. And so I do hope and I do think this next Department of Justice is not going to engage in lawfare. They're not going to engage in all right, we're going to prosecute our enemies now. And then it's just a back and forth forever. There's some people that need to be prosecuted. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not going to name those names. This isn't the right place for that. But I mean, there's some people that have broken the law, and they're going to be held accountable. But that's the way it should be anyway.
Yeah.
But you can also expect that Biden's pardon sheet is going to look like my daughter's phone bill.
Lots of contacts is what you're saying. Lots of contacts.
Yep.
Well, speaking of which, one of those mystery questions out there, and you can just speculate with me openly. I mean, that's all we're doing is spitballing legally here. But do you see pardons coming for Trump? Do you see pardons coming for Hunter Biden? And do you see pardons coming for Trump from the state level as well, by the way?
I don't see any prosecutions at the state level surviving, so I don't know that. I mean, certainly Governor Hochul's not going to pardon Donald Trump. Governor Kemp could. I mean, but that would be sort of if they decided to take it back to Fulton County and give it back to Fani Willis, Governor Kemp could say, all right, this is over with, and put an end to it. He could have honestly done that already. But that could happen. As far as Biden pardoning Trump, I doubt it. I mean, remember, he's Hitler. You don't pardon Hitler, right? I mean,
having lunch together.
Well, you don't go to lunch with Hitler either, right? I mean, you can't take these people seriously. And the fear-mongering, when people are staring at, and you've heard this, and I know you've talked about it, but when people are staring at their bills, and deciding which ones to pay or which ones that they can only pay the minimum on so that they can keep the lights on or keep a credit card open or whatever it is, just so that they have enough money to get back and forth to work. And they're putting $5. I mean, when's the last time you put $5 in your gas tank? Some people are living that way, right? Because that's just – they just need to – and they're not going on trips. These aren't wasteful people. They're honest people that are just – when you're staring at them and you're saying, he's Hitler, vote for me, that doesn't help my $5 gas situation, man. It doesn't – I mean, if gas was $1 a gallon or $2 a gallon, I'd say, okay, fine. If you're going to make it $2 a gallon, I'm listening. That's not what they're promising. They're saying, hey, you know what? You're going to need to buy an electric car in the next couple of years. It costs $80,000, and then you got to pay for the electric bill after that, and you can only drive about 10 minutes before it falls apart. But it's going to be great, isn't it? Because your great-great-great-grandkids will have the temperature won't rise 0.3 degrees for them, right? You know, and look, frankly, Phil, I'm always a little chilly anyway. So, you know, whatever.
I look for the electric vehicle market to crater in the days to come. But government subsidies are going away,
green,
fellas.
Green energy stocks, I don't know if you saw green
energy. Oh, yeah.
And I'm speaking tongue-in-cheek here. But, look, it's a radio show, and we're trying to have fun. We're celebrating a Trump victory. But green energy stocks did tumble.
They did.
In the last couple of days. And the reason is because we're going to open up oil and drill, baby, drill. And that's how you get prices down. Every single thing that we buy, and you know this, Phil, has an oil price attached to it. And every time the price of oil goes up, so does every good you buy. It's more expensive for you to go to work. It's more expensive to take your kids to school, to buy a sweater, to have, you know, Amazon deliver stuff to your door. The prices of those goods go up because it costs more money to deliver them to you or to go get them or have them delivered to Publix or whatever it might be. So when gas goes down, prices go down. How inflation
works. Funny how that
works. It's economics 101. Yeah, it's amazing, right? And nobody in the federal government right now can apparently read the econ book that I read at Notre Dame that said, hey, the cheaper the price of X, the cheaper the price of X plus 2, right? I mean, I'm so excited for President Trump. I'm so excited for the first thing I thought of at 3:30 in the morning when I woke my family up to tell him Trump was what he won. Was my daughter. I thought, hey, you know what, honey, you're going to live in a world of freedom. Because,
yep.
Damn it, we
Absolutely.
Fought for it, and
Absolutely.
We're going to continue to fight for it.
By God. By God. There it is.
Yep.
Well, brother, next time have a Red Bull or something to wake yourself up before you come on my show, all
yeah.
right?
Hey, I'm pumped up, man. Call me next week when I'm in a morass again, right?
Oh, so, no worries.
This is great.
Hey,
right, Phil,
J-Town, Semper Fi. We'll see you, bro.
Hoorah. Thank you.
All right. That was fun. That was fun. Well, did we even talk about legal stuff? I don't know that we did.
Maybe briefly.
Maybe we covered the fact that he's a lawyer and then we went on to other stuff. But you know what the bottom line is? Lawfare is nowhere. Lawfare was nowhere to begin with. Lawfare was a tactic that the left used, and they used it just ad nauseum, but they also used it in such a way that I think that the American people saw it, and they said, screw y'all, we're voting for Trump. And that's exactly what happened, and it should have happened. It was the greatest jury verdict that could have ever been rendered, and there you have it. Lawfare nowhere. I'm moving on to the next dipper. Let's take a break there, my friend. JP's taking us out. I'm going to break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right, and we will be back.